The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house. The European tennis globally right now is in all parts of the world except for the United States. So usually the matches are taking place overnight and we don't have the picks to give. I was sitting here thinking that the picks that I had had already started, and shame on me because they're playing a couple in Bosnia here where one of them just started. I have Dusan Lajovic against Grijanovic, but there is one coming up that you can still play if you're interested. I have Gregoire Barrère. You're familiar with him, Kelly, right? Gregoire Barrère.
What tournament is this?
This is in. I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. Banja Luka.
Banja Luka. That's what I needed to know. Sorry.
This one's in Banja Luka, and I have Barrère. This is all. By the way, this is all on the VSiN.com/picks page.
Oh, you mean Gregoire Barrère at +115 over Hamad Medvedev?
That's correct. But I had him at +133, I believe it was. But it's all at VSiN.com/picks. So. Again, not only my picks, not only Kelly's picks, but every pick from every host or guest on the network for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. So my apologies for not giving the Lajovic one out earlier. He's up a break in the first set, but I do have Gregoire Barrère against who, Kelly, again?
Hamad Medvedev.
That guy.
Medvedevich.
That guy. Ladies and gentlemen, a little easier to say, Andy McNeil to talk Stanley Cup playoffs with us. From Edmonton, Alberta, we wave the Canadian flag across the screen at Digital Gambler. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing good. I'm surprised Kelly isn't an international correspondent for CNN with that pronunciation there. That's some exceptional work.
We decided we want to do it as a bit. He'll say all the tennis picks because Hasan Medvedevich is a good one for him. Okay, let's get into this. Let's try to get as much in as we can because there's obviously going to be four games today, four games tomorrow. Today, and these begin at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, we got the division winners against the wild card teams, game ones, if you will, in the Eastern Conference. Then we got the 2-3, the teams that finished second and third in their respective divisions playing in the West. We flip that tomorrow. Let's do these in chronological order. The Islanders and the Hurricanes begin today. The Hurricanes are a -175 favorite in this one. A lot of people think if it's not the Bruins, maybe it's the Hurricanes who take the Eastern Conference. Where do you stand on this game and on this series as a whole?
So first of all, the Hurricanes definitely, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. the Hurricanes, the hype train has definitely slowed down here because, you know, coming into the season, they had their big acquisition in the summertime was Max Pacioretty. If you remember, he only ended up playing five games with the Hurricanes. He got hurt before the season even started or, you know, halfway through the offseason. And then once he got back, he actually tore his Achilles after playing just five games. So big blow to the Hurricanes. And he's not going to be back for the playoffs, based on what I've seen anyway, and you know maybe later in the playoffs if they make it that far, but it doesn't seem very likely. The hype train has definitely slowed down on Carolina, and then Andrei Svechnikov, he goes down on March 11th with a season-ending injury, and since then the Hurricanes rank 24th on offense in all situations, goals per 60 minutes, and while the +165 price on the series isn't all that enticing, I do think. I like the Islanders to win game one here. Obviously, Carolina is the better team. I think they should be priced closer to -138-ish. So, you know, at +145, they start to become an attractive bet. But if you shop around, you can find +150, even +155 out there. So I marked it down as a half unit play at +145 or better. But I would definitely double up if I can get +155, which I was able to.
Oh, okay. Half unit, if not a full unit, then on the Isles tonight. Game one against the Hurricanes. That's the Canadian pronunciation, Andy. Hurricanes, in case you were scoring over. Half hour after that, puck drops for the Bruins. Bruins and the Panthers. We talked about this on Friday. For those who missed it, he's a homer. First of all, he's a Bruins homer. But yes, when you win 65 games, which is just unbelievable, especially in hockey, record, points, and wins. And now you get to this postseason. there's got to be like some nerves at the top. Do you believe that? I mean, not just you, maybe the team itself. They won't admit it, right? But there's a little bit of this. They're, by the way, the Bruins are minus 210 here in this game. They're huge series favorites. You already said you already have a futures ticket that's way better than what you can get now, so you're sticking with that. But how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good as a Bruins fan, but I think everybody is a little bit nervous here. You know, the season has just been, it's just gone off without a hitch, right? Like everything has come up Boston this season, and you know, being a hockey fan for so many years, you've seen, you know, so much foolishness happen in the NHL playoffs. And as we've talked about, the best team does not always win. And, you know, certainly as much as the NBA or some other sports. But yeah, I mean, I think Boston really outmatches Florida here in more ways than one. They can match them on offense. They're light years better than them on defense. And the goaltending is a big factor here, too. They've got two very, very good NHL goaltenders, and Florida probably going to go with Sergei Bobrovsky, I would think, but you know, he really struggled down the stretch before he left with an illness, and confidence is pretty low on him. I don't think it's ever been high since he came to Florida. I do have a bet on the Bruins to cover this 1.5 game series spread, win in 6 or fewer games, but I'm not going to be laying the minus 210 here on the game one money line. Just a you know, borderline edge here. I'm closer to minus 220 ish, actually closer to minus 215 here in game one. And yeah, just a pass for me, hoping they come away with this one. I think, you know, you look at Boston's odds, their odds of going to Florida up 2-0 in the series are about the same as Florida's chances of winning just one game in these next two. So, you know, hopefully that it comes through.
Hopefully so for you. Again, Isles in game one, Bruins minus 1.5 is the bet on the series from Andy. Let's go to game three tonight out west, the Wild and the Stars, where the Stars are the series and game one favorites, but not huge favorites, minus 145 here.
Yeah, this one has ticked up toward the Dallas Stars. The Wild were, you know, listed around plus 120 when it opened. Now you see some shops going as high as plus 130. Looks like the betting market showing a little bit more love to the Stars than maybe I anticipated. But, you know, I'm really borderline right now on the Wild. I've got plus 127 as a fair price for the Wild in this game. So, you know, I'm seeing some shops tick toward plus 135 at that point, assuming Philip Gustafsson is going to be the starting goaltender for the Wild. They also have Marc-Andre Fleury, but Gustafsson has been better than Jake Oettinger down the stretch here for the last few months. So they could end up having a bit of an edge in goal. And if, you know, the Stars do have an edge in goal, it might not show itself in this series. So I'll be interested in backing the Wild if the odds continue to tick up there, but definitely nothing I'm locking myself into. I think this is going to be a tightly contested series. I think if you look at the recent months or the last few months of the NHL season, Dallas has kind of pulled away and they look like a far better team, but they had the easiest schedule in the NHL down the stretch. And, you know, if you look at the first half of the season, these two teams were really on par with each other. And I think that's more of what you'll see in this series.
And Oettinger has had fine postseason performances, but you're saying he's getting outplayed by some of his teammates here.
Well, I just a quick note on Oettinger. You look, I mean, he had a really strong month of April to close out the season, which was good. But his save percentage had been dropping, you know, basically since the new year on down the stretch of the NHL regular season. So that wasn't a good sign. But yeah, I mean, his amazing performance against the Calgary Flames in last year's playoffs means he's the bigger name brand. But Gustafsson has been just as good this season.
Well, let's see, you know, the always the search here in the Stanley Cup playoffs year after year, postseason, is who might be the hot goaltender, who might, you know, what team can ride a hot goaltender. Obviously, we've seen that happen so many times in history. Might it be in this Kings-Oilers series? The Oilers, no team was hotter than the Oilers down the stretch of the regular season. They're minus 200 favorites in this game. They're obviously big series favorites against the LA Kings, but it is Korpisalo, and I'm curious what you feel about this game and this series in particular with the Kings having him in net.
Well, I mean, I think you'll remember, Gil, a few years ago when Korpisalo was, you know, lights out for the Blue Jackets at times against the Maple Leafs. And they managed to win that series as you know, fairly big underdogs, if I recall correctly. And he's been great down the stretch. He's always been a goaltender that I mean, you know, being in Columbus, not the best situation, but he's always seemed to have a very high ceiling. He's put out some of these incredible performances. He's gotten his name in the record books, you know, amongst the goaltenders that have made the most saves in a playoff game in NHL history and things like that. So his ceiling is really high. It can be pretty, his floor can be pretty low too. So that's the other thing. But I think there's a wide range of possible outcomes here with this goalie in particular. And then you look at Edmonton's Stuart Skinner. I mean, a lot of people would say he deserves to win the Calder Trophy this year for the way that he's helped the Oilers, you know, become one of the best teams in the NHL. And I mean, when you look at Edmonton and the trade that they made at the trade deadline to bring in Matthias Ekholm from the Nashville Predators, it really, really completed this team. They've been, like you said, the best team in the NHL down the stretch. And I think that's one of the big reasons why he's really given this team a different look, a look that they didn't have on defense in prior years. And the Kings are going to be a tough test. I don't have a bet in the series. My projection lines up pretty closely with what we're seeing at in the betting market. But I am betting on the Oilers to win the first period, minus half a goal, plus 145. Wrote about it the other day at VSiN.com. Edmonton, they went down in all three matchups last season, but, you know, specifically in the first and second round against the Kings and the Flames, they lost game one. They say they're a more mature team. I would like to think that shows itself in the first period. They're the highest scoring first period team in the league. And I've got the Oilers winning the first period at minus half a goal, plus 145.
All right, Oilers minus half a goal, plus 145 first period tonight. That along with the Isles, that along with the Bruins, minus a game and a half in the series. Nothing on the Wild Stars, just to clarify. Yes? Yes.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Let's talk tomorrow again. Andy McNeil, everybody. Dan Bespris on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, we have some breaking football news. What you got?
Yeah, that we do. Eagles and Jalen Hurts have agreed to a 5-year, $255 million contract extension. Hurts, now the highest paid player in NFL history. If you're wondering, because a lot of people are out there, well, how much is guaranteed, Gil? $179.3 million is guaranteed. Of course, I emphasize that because Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, I'm sure, are very curious about what those numbers are.
So Deshaun Watson still got the most guaranteed money at 230 because every penny of his was guaranteed.
You and I just had to go look that back up during the break. It blows my mind hearing it again. But every penny they guaranteed.
But 5 years, 255 becomes the largest contract in the history of the NFL again. $51 million a year, right? $51 million a year if you average that out. 51 for Jalen Hurts, who is 24 years old and in his third season, really was the starter of his second and third seasons, took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. And let us not forget that when he was picked in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft as the 53rd overall pick, what did we all say? Overdraft.
Yeah.
Every damn one of us.
We all did.
They overdrafted him.
We all did, yeah.
That was the one where they went back-to-back overdraft, right? It was Jalen Reagor and then him. We were like, oh, boy, what are they doing? They don't know how to draft. And now they're paying him $51 million a year. Now, again, it's one of these things where it's always fascinating, too, because he's done everything right, but there are going to be some people, right, who are like, wow, they committed to this being there. Like, it's always, because that's the NFL. That's the economic structure. You have to pay them.
You got to pay them.
You got to pay
them. You got to pay them. Yeah. I don't have a problem. That's where, like, these numbers almost, I don't want to say they don't mean anything, but it's, like, it's a quarterback in the NFL. If you've got a guy you got to pay, guess what? You got to pay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't even know how much negotiating power some of these teams have. You know what I mean? Like, and Gil, does this help or hurt the Lamar Jackson situation? This is what I'm trying to bat around in my mind right now. I don't know
that it's related in any way.
Okay. Okay.
I really don't, because I think that the NFL has just decided. Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I think it can only help Lamar. I don't think it can hurt him, right? That's for sure. Couldn't hurt him in any way. But I don't know that it helps him tremendously. Like, I don't know, like, all of a sudden, if people are going to be like, oh, well, they just paid Jalen Hurts this, we're going to give you this. So,
there's a part of my mind that thinks getting a quarterback deal done of any kind while they're negotiating can only help the process.
Can only help him.
But I don't think it you might be
in
right,
any market way helps him. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden be like, oh, we'll give you everything you want, Lamar. No, I don't think it works that way. Certainly doesn't hurt him. So I don't know that it will have any real effect. They're taking Lamar Jackson as a completely different entity, and the league has just sort of decided. I mean, Jalen Hurts took his team to the Super Bowl. They're going to pay him, and somehow that's completely unrelated to Lamar Jackson, who they've dug their heels on, and they're like, nope, we tagged you. This is what we're paying you, and that's the end of that.
Yep.
Eagles, among the short shots, along with the Chiefs, both Super Bowl teams, to be in the Super Bowl next year. It's all the usual suspects, short shots to win. But that, you know, that brings us to the draft also. Let us not blur the lines on draft betting versus talent evaluation, right? Some will have you believe that people were making talent evaluation calls when making bets. It was never the case. When you're making NFL draft bets, it doesn't matter if you think C.J. Stroud is better than Bryce Young or Bryce Young is better than C.J. Stroud. It doesn't matter if you think that Jalen Hurts is good or bad. That's different from the betting itself. It's amazing how many people don't get that.
Yeah, and even one of the toughest parts about it is when you get to the part about projecting which team, like if we start talking fits for teams, right? And one of the things we keep hearing is, right, Bryce Young is the only quarterback that the Texans would consider. It's like, is that really true? Are we going to bet that way from what they're saying? Or are you going to bet another way? All that stuff needs to be taken into account. But you're right. As far as who's better than who, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the most value out of a price that's posted for betting purposes.
It's the biggest lie that gets told every year. Let's go to the second pick in the draft. Because the buzz, right, that Houston only likes Bryce Young, and now it could be Will Anderson. What in your heart of hearts right now, 10 days before the draft, if I'm like, all right, Kelly Bidlin, how do you think this is really going to go? Right now, you tell me. Do you think Bryce Young goes to Carolina? I'm guessing.
I guess, Gil. I'm still in the camp of...
Me too.
At least partially, that this is partially a smokescreen. Because why wouldn't you?
Me too.
JVT and I kind of argued about this on Saturday, but like, okay, the Texans are dumb enough to allow their team to win that final game. If you're the Panthers, why wouldn't you be trying to goat these idiots into trading up for the first pick? You might as well try, throw everything out there, see if you get a nibble. So maybe his conversation starts. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Whatever. Like, I'm sure Houston's calling your bluff and you're bluffing completely.
And anybody who thinks this conversation is ridiculous, like all we have to do is go back to the last NBA draft where I bet Paolo Banchero. I thought it was everybody but Paolo Banchero.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
At the last minute,
yep.
Woj even had to say, oh, it's Paolo Banchero. It's also the draft with the Niners, right? Everybody thought they were trading. No. They ended up picking not Mac Jones at three. So, again, that's the thing. Like, you don't know till it happens. None of us do.
So I would think, though, going back to your original question about number two. So, like, it all depends, obviously, what happens at number one. I still think, like, I would not be betting Will Anderson to go two. I think Houston either goes with one of the quarterbacks there or they trade back. And you're going to get one of these teams that we don't know about. One of these teams out there, I would bet, has fallen in love with one of these four quarterbacks that the Carolina Panthers will end up not taking.
And they're not talking right now.
And they're not talking. And all they're going to do is throw a lot at Houston to go move up a few spots. This might be the Colts. This might be the Raiders. Might be any number of those teams right in the top 10, right? You go and move up to that second spot, and you get your pick of the rest of the quarterbacks.
And if there's more than one team, you could see it happen at two and at three.
Yeah, totally.
So that's also the notion, right? The notion that four quarterbacks, and I'm not saying it will happen, but the notion that it's never happened before that quarterbacks have gone one, two, three, four, therefore it cannot happen. This is in sports betting, this is a terrible tack to take, right? Oh, there hasn't been a Triple Crown winner since affirmed. Yeah, but there's been a million close calls, and it's going to happen. An American Pharoah comes around. Everybody, oh, my God, it hasn't happened in so many years. What an upset. No, it's not, because there's so many close calls right, in all those years. Yeah. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to. So don't use that as your logic either. But there it is right now for the number two draft pick, the number two pick in the NFL draft. C.J. Stroud is the short shot at plus 120. The market still believes that it's still a little more likely that Houston would pick him rather than not, or somebody will pick him, I should say, at number two. Will Anderson's at plus 160. Bryce Young, for all of his, you know, fait accompli at number one, is only, in quotes, plus 390 to go second. Will Levis is 6-1, and then everybody else double digits. I will say this again. In recent NFL drafts, I don't remember being this nonplussed because we don't have props, right, in town. So I only have six bets total. I've had way more than that by now.
Yeah, me too.
And I would believe anything at this point. I would totally believe anything at the top of this draft.
No, I would too. I would too, especially with what we've seen in recent years. I think the one thing that I guess I found it to be a sticking point when JVT and I were talking about this on Saturday, Live Bet Saturday, check it out. We were talking about, because I brought up the whole smokescreen thing, and he's like, no, don't go there, don't go there. And he's like, it's not just about the size. And I'm like, whoa, it is about the size for me, but it's not the Stroud-Frank Reich size connection.
I don't believe in that.
It's the Bryce Young is so small thing.
Correct.
Like, that's the size thing that I've always been.
I agree with that. I always thought that the Reich only likes this kind of quarterback type thing was always a little overblown.
Yeah, right, me too.
But if my man is 5'10 and slight, I mean, at some point.
I mean, give me another comp beyond Drew Brees, please. Like this.
And Drew Brees was taller than that. So, yeah. We'll see. We'll talk a lot more about it between now and then, that's for sure. Wes Reynolds is next. Golf.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Wes Reynolds is usually ensconced towards the top of that page. He certainly should be this week, because when he came on last week to talk RBC Heritage with us, he hadn't done his work yet, but he did say one thing. He said, well, I'll tell you who I will be betting, and that'll be Matthew Fitzpatrick.
My man called his shot from Monday of last week. That's right.
Yes,
he was all over him.
And Matthew Fitzpatrick ends up winning it in a playoff holes in the third on the third playoff hole yesterday at Hilton Head against Jordan Spieth. Spieth, my goodness, on the first and second playoff holes, missed putts to win it by, I won't even say centimeters, it was millimeters in both cases. We bring Wes Reynolds on now to join us again, the co-host of VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and the glue that holds this whole operation together. How you doing, Wes? And congratulations, man.
Good morning, Gil. Thank you very much. Very, very fortunate, but Matthew Fitzpatrick, great shot on the third playoff hole, about as good as you could do it, stiffen it to a foot. So Fitzpatrick gets a win where he used to vacation as a young kid, he and his family. So always said he loved this course down at Harbortown, and showed why yesterday.
Sure did. And yes, Jim Nantz waxed prosaically about that a lot of times, many times yesterday, about the Fitzpatrick family spending their vacations at Hilton Head, which is kind of random, I guess, right?
It felt like half the broadcast.
It really did. Yeah, of all places they enjoyed, Hilton Head the most. This is a sort of squirrely golf week. Explain to folks what's going on this week.
Yeah, this week they go to New Orleans for the Zurich Classic. It's a team event. They alternate formats by day, where one day it's going to be four ball, which is basically a best ball format. You take the best score, and then the next day it's foursome, so it's alternate shots. So one guy drives off the tee, next guy takes the second shot, the approach, next guy hits the first putt, basically. So, you know, it is kind of a little bit of a hinky format. You do have eight of the top 20 players in the world that are committed this week, but, you know, just looking for the odds this morning, and nobody wants to be first.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be first at all. I have not even found any odds this morning for this type of format. There's like 80 teams of two in this. There probably should only be 60, but, you know, you have different teams. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele were the winners of this, both in contention, by the way, this past weekend down in Hilton Head. They were the winners of this last year. I believe at 9-1 was their closing price. So it's kind of a weird format. And now you're getting to the point where maybe some players are going to take time off because they had this designated event last week down at the RBC. And then they have this event, Mexico, and then another designated event at the Wells Fargo 2 weeks before the PGA.
2 weeks before the PGA, AT&T in between Wells Fargo and the PGA Championship. I asked you some form of this last week. I'll ask you again. Oak Hill PGA Championship, May the 18th, so it'll be upon us pretty soon. Are those available rampantly, and have you bet anything? Futures.
They are starting to get available. I had a Cameron Young who did not play very well this week at the RBC, and I think you could still get him at close to 30-1. I think his driver is going to be a weapon here. I'll have more as we go on. Obviously, the prices are going to adjust over the next 4 weeks once we get to Oak Hill and all these different events. But Cameron Young, for sure, I have already played.
All right, and then is there anything live, or is there, I know you haven't done the work on this yet, but you may be betting LPGA golf this week?
Yeah, the LPGA has its first major, the Chevron Championship, I believe down in Texas. It used to be the spot where it was the Nabisco Dinosaur all those years ago, where they jumped into the pond out there in Mission Hills,
sure,
California.
Sure.
The winner always would jump into the pond with the family and the caddy. So now they have moved it to Texas because Chevron, the sponsorship consideration. So you are getting the first LPGA major. The schedule has really been erratic, though. It's been around the world. Usually don't have an event in Hawaii, which they had this weekend, and then have an event in Texas. So the schedule has been kind of funky for the LPGA, but nevertheless, all the best players in the world going to be there.
How often do you bet LPGA, Wes?
Just majors.
Just majors.
I wish I had more time.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because of time, because you know, with kind of a 1 day turnaround to get a column written and do the Long Shots podcast, it's really just not enough time to cover all these tours.
I mean, how widespread are LPGA lines to begin with? Like, just anecdotally, do I even stumble upon them ever?
They have them a few places here in town, and then I know BetMGM has them up. And as you get later in the week, some of the other books, you know, nationwide are going to have these up. But it's not like a huge handle, obviously, but I think for the majors, you get to the Chevron Championship or the U.S. Women's Open or the Women's British Open. Those are the ones that I can kind of focus on instead of the week-to-week events.
Kelly and I did this exercise about a month ago where I gave my top 10 men's and women's tennis players, and he did it for golf. He gave a top 10. So this is, you know, non-course adjusted, non-course specific. I'm curious who your top five, just sort of in Wes Reynolds' mind, if you went through your top five, and I'm sure the first couple names or first few names might be obvious, but I'm curious what ends up happening after that. So what would be your top five global golfers right now on the men's side?
Well, I would go John Rahm number one, because I believe he did win the last major, and he's probably been the hottest player since December. I would go Scottie Scheffler two. And I'm going kind of how they're playing right now. It's not like a career ranking necessarily. So
right.
John Rahm one, Scottie Scheffler two. I would probably go, in terms of just how much he's winning, I think you have to go Max Homa number three, even though I wouldn't say he's the third best player in the world. I'm going, you know, a little bit more on recent form. So I would go Max Homa three, Rory McIlroy four, and he's kind of dropping a little bit because he hasn't had the win equity as of late. And then number five, I'd probably have to go with number five's kind of hard. There's a whole mess of players.
I went Cantlay five.
Yeah, it would be Cantlay or Shoffley. It's kind of splitting hairs between the two.
So the cousin to that question is, who would most people, like for me, again, when I did it, I got into this thing where I had Sinner five, and some people agree with me, but there were some other people, Sinner five, what are you talking about? It should be Tsitsipas, and I don't trust Tsitsipas ever. So for me, Sinner is absolutely the fifth best player in the world, non-surface specific. Who's the guy that you don't trust? And I know this is not how necessarily we talk about golf on a week-to-week basis, but who's the guy that is obviously one of the best golfers in the world when it comes to rankings, but when it comes to betting, you find yourself hesitating and rarely backing?
Probably Victor Hovland would be one of those, because he doesn't put it all together in terms of his short game. And that's a real weakness in his game. And it's got to get better if you're going to win against the best players in the world. He hits the ball beautifully off the tee and with his approach shots with the irons, but he just, his chipping is a mess. His bunker play is very much hit or miss. So Victor Hovland would be one. And then one that's kind of getting to me a little bit is Colin Morikawa, who I thought, okay, this is going to be the year he rebounds, because he didn't win at all in 2022. He won the DP World Tour finale in Dubai at the DP World Tour Championship in 2021, but didn't win last year. Looked like he was going to win to start the year, where he had that big lead in Kapalua, and then John Rahm shot like 10 under in the final round, and then Morikawa gave a couple strokes back and lost the event. So I thought, okay, it'll take a few weeks, take a month or two, he's going to rebound, and he hasn't won, and he really wasn't in the mix this weekend at the RBC in a course that should really fit him, because it's not a course where you have to be long. It's a station-to-station plotters type of golf course, and he was never really in the mix at all.
What about the converse of that? So before we go to break, who's the guy that you tend to be higher on than the general market on what seems to be a week-to-week basis to you? Not just a one-off thing, but you feel like it comes up all the time for you.
Well, at the risk of being prisoner of the moment, Matthew Fitzpatrick, because this is a guy now that he's added length off the tees. You obviously, if you've seen him, you know he's not a very big guy. So he doesn't look like one of those guys that could be a bomber
right
off the tee, but he's added length. His club head speed is much faster. He's a very analytical guy, too. Like, he charts every shot. I think he's charted every shot. They joked in the Full Swing documentary on Netflix that he's charted every shot since he was like 14 years old. So he's very cerebral in his process. He plays fast. If you wonder why he was playing so fast yesterday in the playoff, he does his pre-shot routine during the other player's shot. So that's why he's not taking forever like Patrick Cantlay is. So Matt Fitzpatrick, I think the short game's always been good. The irons have been good, but now he's got length off the tee.
Yeah, that's a great point, because that was sort of unsettling to me yesterday. Like, he would just walk right up to the ball and hit him. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Take your time. But he's already done his pre-work there. We'll come back. More with Wes Reynolds. Inside the mind of Wes Reynolds. Right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800 Gambler. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We don't have the volume up on any of our TVs.
Oh, would you like me to do play-by-play?
In the studio, please. Could you do a play-by-play?
This guy's sponsored by Blockbuster. We don't know his name. It's like the Boban. He runs, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs. And actually, he's just jogging. This dude's just jogging.
So the winner, I believe it was the winner, right, finished in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 53 seconds.
Why are the streetlights still working? Did you see that? There was like a streetlight by the finish line. It went and turned to yellow.
Oh, I don't know. It's a rainy day in Boston.
Slow down.
But 26 point. They tell them to slow down. Is that what you tell them?
Slow down.
26.2 miles in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 53 seconds.
This guy's mouth isn't even open. He's not even breathing heavily. Like, he's just like, yeah.
The person that they're showing right now. He is jogging with the same. With the same sort of laboring that I would do jogging out of this studio right after the show.
Yes, I will be more out of breath walking to my car after the show than what that guy just did for a marathon.
All right, and this guy's running for him. Looks like he just doesn't know how to run.
Well, both of them. One of them's way too much arms. I think this guy's running like this.
Wes Reynolds, would you ever run a race this long? Like, this is just so foreign to me.
No. I never would, and I never could. It's amazing because I've actually worked an event. They used to have the mini marathon, which is the half marathon in Indianapolis, and that kind of kicks off like the month of May in Indianapolis for the Indy 500 and all of that stuff. And I'm just, amazed at all of these runners that do it. And you could tell because they always put the rabbits and the actual competitors that can win the race right up front.
Right.
So that they don't have anybody in their way. And then all the normal people that are just like, hey, I just want to finish. Like, that's my achievement, are well in the back.
Yeah. Otherwise, they would have to like bump Kelly out of the way.
Okay. Well,
thing.
Hold on. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense why they start him up front.
Yeah.
But if you want entertainment, put him at the back, right? True. Like, let's turn this into we got to fight through people to get to the lead.
Well, it's going to be like the guy in Seinfeld, remember, that overslept his alarm, the runner there, and then took the drink, and it was Kramer's coffee, and it ruined the whole deal for him in the New York City Marathon.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, but before we do, we were talking about something off-air, last thing about golf. Kelly was mentioning John Rahm got in the booth afterwards, and like you said, because he's taking some time off, he was just thrilled to be hanging out there. And what ensued was some of the greatest golf analysis you've ever seen. That also a day after, they put the mic on. Jimmy Walker, I guess, had agreed to walk down the golf course, as is the new thing this season, with golfers being interviewed. We saw Max Homa's mom get interviewed, where Max Homa's mom was like, oh, it's so great to see Maxie win a tournament. And then he didn't win the tournament. But Jimmy Walker was like in the worst. He had just, I think, 3 bogeys in a row or something like that, was about to go. And he couldn't have been more gracious about it. Has that added to the experience for you, all of that?
Well, yeah, I think so. And on the point with Jimmy Walker, this is a guy that, was ranked a top 10, top 20 player in the world several years ago, has battled Lyme disease. So that's why he's been kind of sporadic in terms of his playing. So I think he was just glad to kind of be in the mix again, because he was on the lead on Saturday and in one of the final groups. But, it was just great to be playing again. And then John Rahm, sounds like a 5-time Sports Emmy winner getting in there in the booth and doing analysis. It was just amazing. And, Rahm, I got to give Rahm credit too, because the week after the Masters, this is now a designated event. And he probably could have taken the week off, but he was like, I made my commitment. The kids want to see the Masters champion play in person. So he honored his commitment, didn't play too bad. He wasn't in contention. And then he's going to take like 1 week off. He's not going to play in New Orleans. Then he's going to go to what is going to be a downfield in the Mexico Open, but obviously as a Spaniard, hey, the Masters champion coming to Mexico, and the fact that he won the event last year. So just not a lot of time off for these guys. So it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, the that event, a lot of people remember last year, John Rahm closed like, what, plus 270 heading into that event. West, we'll see what the field's like this year. I thought he was, like, we always talk about these top three golfers at the top with Scheffler, Rahm, Rory. I've never, there's not one of those guys that I've particularly liked as a person more than the other two. John Rahm went up a lot of points in my book yesterday, hopping in the booth and doing that. He was very cool, relaxed, brought great energy and amazing insight. Like, he was, that's the best golf analyst I've almost ever heard.
By the way, the winner of the Boston Marathon, because we mentioned the time, 2 minutes, 5 seconds, 54 seconds, Evans Shebet, or is it Shebet of Kenya? I believe he was the defending champion going in, and he spoiled in the process the debut of the world record holder, Eliud Kipchoge.
Wow.
So there you go. A little Boston Marathon drama. What did you bet NBA, and what are your observations here after the first games of all eight series?
Yeah, look, the observations yesterday were all of the injuries. So, you know, therein lies the discussion. It's like, okay, we rest these guys all throughout the year and do the load management thing to try to protect from injuries. And then you have Giannis go down. Then you have Ja Morant go down. Then you have Tyler Hero break his hand. That actually cost me a bet yesterday because I had Tyler Hero over his points. I didn't join the Twitterverse, though, and asking for a refund because that happens. You know, yeah. You know, sometimes it's tough noogies here. You know, you get a guy hurt, that happens, and it's kind of a tough beat. But yet I noticed that there were some refunds for Giannis yesterday. I don't particularly like that precedent, but it's already out of the barn. There's nothing I can do about it. That's just the way it's going to be. But look, I think we've had a few good games, especially the Warriors-Kings series, which I have a bet over 5.5 games that I bet over to start the playoffs. But I can see why the Warriors are the favorite tonight. I hope that goes seven. That, to me, on paper, was the most exciting
it
series
was awesome.
For the
yeah.
first round.
Mm-hmm.
And to see Sacramento, and as somebody that worked for an NBA franchise in a small market, it can be a tough sell. It can be tough to sell tickets, even though you have that passionate fan base. But the Kings, they've had a lot of lean years. I mean, when you're over 15 years not making the playoffs, that's a good basketball market. Because we remember back in the early, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, when they had Weber and Vlade and Mike Bibby and Stojakovic, Turkoglu, Bobby Jackson, the whole gang, how good that team was with Rick Adelman as the coach. And, you know, to see the Kings playing good ball again, I think is really cool. So hopefully that at least goes six. But in terms of tonight's card, I don't disagree with the move. I actually agree with the move on the under with Brooklyn and Philadelphia. I actually didn't think Brooklyn played too bad on Saturday, and they still lost by 20.
Yeah.
And it got away from them at the end. They made a little run to make it more competitive, got it down to like 11 or 12. Sixers put the starters back in and pushed it to 20. But the Sixers hit 21 threes on Saturday, and that was an all-time franchise playoff record. So I got to think that there's at least a little bit of regression coming. So that total's down. I think 213.5 is the max, mostly 213 in the market. I can't disagree with the move on the under. I know it's kind of dangerous to bet NBA games unders when you're seeing some of these really super high-scoring games like you saw with the Lakers and the Grizzlies yesterday and the Heat and the Bucks. But this is a series I would be leaning into the under tonight. I still think the Nets may get one game in this series, but this is probably one of the dud matchups where it's not going to be super competitive. Atlanta-Boston is another one. Atlanta-Boston, I bet Boston -2.5 games. I think that's going to be a sweep.
Ooh, just one of the runners just fell as you finished that. Sorry about that, Wes. To your point, I want to back up 2 points that you're saying. One about, you know, the instinct. We saw the Warriors and Kings soar over. Then we saw the Lakers and Grizzlies soar over. I know one of the best analytics basketball guys I know, one of the most successful, if not the most successful, pre-flop NBA bettor I know. He had the under in both games. So I wouldn't like race to just take one game's result and run with it that, oh, these are all going to go over. Not necessarily mm-hmm. the case. So that for sure. The other thing about the point you made earlier about the precedent of refunds in betting, I'm with you. I don't think it's a good precedent. What I certainly don't think is people who then go on Twitter and say, if this other book doesn't do it, there should be a class action lawsuit against it. It's like, oh my God, maybe you should stop betting if that's your attitude on it. So,
And the under, by the way, on these props, you know, are options as well. They do offer both sides.
That's right. There's your
closing line,
that's
Wes.
Your pro tip of the hour. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Wes Reynolds, everybody, at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one on Twitter. We've done all we could do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.